Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back with us today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we've got some really good, exciting things ahead of us. So don't let anything interrupt you. Isn't that right, Billy?
Right. You know, I enjoyed last week, and I'm enjoying going on with it this week. The Lord had given me this, just a phrase. It comes from a larger portion of Scripture, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
That's right.
And we went through that word by word last week. And I want to begin today with, it's fascinating, Gloria, to think about there are other realms. And the Bible speaks of an unseen realm around us that we can't see. Mm-hmm. And in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal."
Which is the biggest thing.
That's the biggest thing. I mean, the things we see here are temporal. They're passing away with time. But there's an unseen realm all around us, and of course there in the heaven of heavens, that we can't see with the natural eye. And I want to read today from John A. MacMillan's book, because we're talking about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You really can't see much of the realm of the warfare that we do. We talked about this scripture actually comes from a broader scripture, which talks about your mind and the mind being the arena. The enemy is unseen. We don't see him. The Holy Ghost is unseen. Jesus says, like the wind. Yeah. You see the effects of it, but unseen. So in this book, The Authority of the Believer, which is so great, by John A. MacMillan, he writes...
Where are you?
Page 85.
What page what?
85.
All right.
I think you maybe have a marker over here. 85.
Okay.
Between the visible and material sphere in which humans dwell, and that unseen and intangible spirit realm which surrounds and penetrates it, no veil exists save the inability of mankind to see the immaterial with eyes adapted only for the viewing of material things. Like Brother Hagin, he once was teaching, and he said, "I'm going to teach you today on demons, the devil, demons, and demons' possession." He said, "If your eyes were not holden, that means, you know, inability, you could see that the very air about you is infested with demons. But not to worry, there's at least twice as many angels." So that's what he's talking about here. There's a veil, and that veil is over our eyes, and God chose to put it there. He chose that we didn't see all the time the demons running around, low-level devils.
Yeah.
And even chose that we don't see the angels. Throughout this vast region, unseen intelligences, some good and some evil, everywhere move. We're going to look at the good. Who's the good there? The good angels have a constant and definite service to render for the saints of the Lord. They are called ministering spirits, sent to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. All round about us, according to Hebrews 1:14, there are angels, and they're sent to minister for me. They are given charge over God's people to keep them in all their ways. Psalm 91:11. At rare times, they may openly manifest themselves. Even in these days, but the believer is never to seek contact with angels, nor are his prayers under any circumstances to be directed to them. His knowledge of them and their service to him and their nature comes from the Word of God alone.
Amen.
Gloria, have you ever seen an angel? I have never seen an angel.
No.
You two of us sit here who have never seen angels. Now, I have seen things. I have had visions of something... that I've never seen the Lord Jesus in a vision. I did have him appear right here one time and talk to me, and what he talked to me about, I saw. And I've had things I've seen, but I've never seen the Lord Jesus, and I've never seen an angel. But my daughter told me, Brenda, who has the discerning of spirits operating in her life, that means the seeing into the realm of spirits. That's what that gift is. She said, Mother, if I told people how many angels I see, they'd think I was crazy.
Wow.
Wow.
I like that.
Brenda? But whether we see them or whether we don't,
they're there.
They're there. That's praise right. God. Charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. Glory to God.
Amen.
Now, with the unseen in that realm, with those that are evil, the Christian believer has nothing whatever to do except to ignore them, save when they interfere with the believer. Then his indicated duty is to resist them. James 4:7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Brother Hagin said, if he didn't flee, you didn't resist. Because it is written that he will. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith.
Steadfast. Now that's the key word there. Steadfast.
Yeah. You don't blink.
You resist him. And you say, well, nothing happened. No, you're steadfast. You got to be steadfast.
Absolutely.
And
you can't run around
not
saying
yield.
That. Yeah, you do, Gloria. And I'm telling you, some people, they learn about the authority of the believer. And if it doesn't just right like that, something drop away, they start confessing all the bad things the devil's doing to them.
Yeah.
You keep your mouth shut about that.
That's
and you
right.
say the good things God is doing.
You say, speaking,
I resisted him and he's got to go.
That's right.
And I want to tell the experience here of Brother Hagin. He had an open-eyed vision of Jesus. Now, Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, for whom I worked and whose books I did, he had visions of Jesus. Jesus appeared to him face to face, and he wrote a book, I Believe in Visions. But this time, he told this time, Jesus was coming. He's standing right in front of Brother Hagin, and he's talking to Brother Hagin. And this little thing, he said it looked like a little monkey, came there and threw up like an inky ink screen between him and Brother Hagin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Kenneth Hagin said, I was looking and Jesus just kept talking. And I thought, I want to hear what he's saying. Doesn't he know I can't hear what he's saying? Why doesn't he do something about that devil? So it went on and on. And finally, Jesus just talked and talked. And finally, Brother Hagin stomped his foot and he said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. And that ink, that veil went away and that little thing went off and ran. And I think it was even saying while the screen was up, yakety yak, 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 yakety yak, yak, yak. And so Jesus then, when the screen was gone, he said to Brother Hagin, I'm glad you did that, because if you had not done that, I could not have done it. He said, oh, Lord, surely you meant you would not have done it. No, I could not have done it. All authority on heaven and earth is given to me, and I entrusted you with the authority on the earth. And then he said this, Gloria, and I'm telling you, it's the truth. You can read that New Testament through, and you cannot find one place that he told the church to pray that he would do something about the devil. He said to Brother Hagin, I've done all I'm going to do about the devil for the church. I've given them the authority. They're the body, and they are to take care of it.
He put it in our hands.
He put it in our hands. So with the evil that's out there that we can't see, you know, in that realm, we are to resist them, and they have to flee from us. Now, he says,
now I am
on page 85, and I'm about in the middle of the top paragraph.
I got it.
Oh, 4 or 5 lines from the bottom. The appointed weapons of our warfare are the authority of the risen Lord and the blood of the Lamb. To the man of wholehearted consecration and of scriptural faith, these will be found all sufficient at all times. Remember our theme? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God.
They're not natural.
They're not natural. They're not. They're not of that. And so he used for the scriptures here, of course, he used Mark 16:17-18. He's the risen Lord. And the risen Lord, after he's conquered, He's risen, and he says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, there's your weapon. In my name, the name of Jesus. In my name, they shall cast out devils.
That's right.
Doesn't just mean that, oh, somebody comes in here and they're demon-possessed and we cast it out. No. It means wherever we go today, Gloria, we're going to cast the devils out of our pathway. We're not going to let them operate over our heads in the heavenlies.
That's right.
We're not going to let them operate in our children's lives. Hmm. In the name of Jesus. In my name, they'll cast out devils. Now, I wrote the book, The Blood and the Glory, and I wrote it. I was looking for the glory, and I saw a lot of bad things happening to good people. And some of it seemingly when these good people didn't do anything wrong. And Gloria, I tell you what was the big key. It was before your Southwest Believers Convention, and your niece was your secretary or your administrative assistant, whatever you called her. Was her? Uh-huh. And her husband was the head over your foreign office. And they took out to eat, I think, your Australian offices. And a drunk hit their van.
Yeah.
And your little niece was killed and her unborn child. I'm telling you, that's really what got that book of The Blood and the Glory started.
Hmm.
Because I knew there was no known sin there. You know, here yeah. this thing came out and hit it. And so I started seeking God.
Mm.
And a part of his answer to me was this. He asked me a question. If God asks you a question and puts you on your toes and you're not quite sure the answer what to give him. But I was seeking him so, and I heard his voice. And he said, you are an end time preacher. Now I know to say end of days, but then I didn't. You are an end time preacher, are you not? I didn't know what to say. Thought about saying, well, what do you think? You know, I don't know. He said, what did I tell you the devil would be doing in the last days? And so I knew where to look. And he had me go backwards in the verses. He had me go to Revelation 12, 10 and 10. The accuser... No, 10, 12, 12, 12. Revelation 12, 12. The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. So the devil in the end time, as the time gets shorter, actually it's Adam's lease. He knows when the lease date is up, the one that he usurped from Adam. That's why he's got the authority in the first place. When he sees that thing gets shorter and shorter, his wrath goes greater and greater because he's literally fighting for his survival. He still thinks he can win. He's deceived his own self. He's a deceiver.
That's right. That's right.
But he's just furious, and he gets furiouser and furiouser as he approaches that date. So the question to God, to me, was, what did I tell you the devil would be doing in the end of days? So I saw, aha, it's the devil. He said, now back up a verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Their life, it actually says. He said, yes, that's what the devil doing. But I appointed you to overcome. Not once in the Bible is it ever a hint that in the New Testament that we are ever to be overcome. We are to be overcomers with his name. Hallelujah. That's a weapon of our warfare. And with his blood, the risen Lord. We learn all of this in the Word.
Yep.
So the Word, of course, is the source of all of knowing what the weapons are. But particularly our weapons are the authority of the risen Lord. And by that, we can use his name, the blood of the Lamb. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. So I learned about the blood of Jesus, and I'm writing the book, The Blood and the Glory, after these things, what I told you. And he showed me what a mighty weapon the blood is. And I, from Brother Hagin's book, I've forgotten which one, he said, the old timers knew something about the blood we didn't know. And then he wrote, everything we have is on the basis of the blood shed at Calvary. On the basis of the blood. I remember David Ingalls wrote a song, On the Basis of the Blood. So on the basis of the blood, he said the old timers would plead the blood of Jesus. And then Brother Higgins wrote in that book, whichever one it was, I say it like this, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. There's your two weapons that are not carnal.
Yeah, that's right.
And based on what the Word says about our risen Lord, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. You see, you don't have to fight the devil. You couldn't win if you did. You're no match for him. But Jesus, God through Jesus, defeated him for us.
That's right.
And so now we just hold the weapons of our warfare. We hold the shield of faith. We hold the blood, and we say, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
That is very good.
I say that every single day, because if you go back up one more verse, and I didn't say this one, you back up one more verse. He had me to go to the verses in reverse. Start with Revelation 12:12, the devil having great wrath. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood. Revelation 12:10, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And that's when he showed me, Gloria, this is a daily thing. The devil, he's a persistent cuss.
Yeah, he is.
And daily he is going to accuse you before God, and he's going to accuse you to yourself. And the only answer any of us have to his accusations is the blood of Jesus. So in the morning, I've done it ever since he showed me this years ago. In the morning, now I've learned how to rule and reign, and we're going to talk about it more in the authority of the believer. But I've known for many, many years in the morning to use the blood of Jesus and in the night to use the blood of Jesus. And, you know, The devil is persistent, and we, as the children of God, with the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, we have to be persistent too. I find that people, we're going to talk about this more this week, after we teach them how to rule and reign, after we teach them how to sit in their chair, after in this book, page 27, tells you every morning to get up and reign over the devil, people quit it. They don't do it. And we're going to be talking about this week.
That sounds good.
We're going to be talking about this week how you can do it, how you can, in your household, you have habitational authority. You don't have a authority over people, and you don't have authority over, let's say, your next-door neighbors. They just allow the devil to run rampant at their house. But you got authority at your house. And the devils who are in the air, I'm going to read this from Gary Wood's book. There they are in that unseen realm. Gary, he died, went to heaven in 1966. He came back. He didn't want to come back, but Jesus sent him back. And he told them that before the Lord comes back, there'd be three signs. There would be a spirit of restoration, a spirit of prayer, and an outpouring of miracles. So here's what he wrote concerning the spirit of prayer. While I was with Jesus, he showed me the earth. It was like I was looking at the pictures the astronauts send to us on earth from the satellite. Only the earth was encircled by three rings. Inside the first ring, the earth's atmosphere, I saw hundreds of evil spirits in Satan's domain. The evil spirits would target people and try to deceive them. If the people would accept the lies as truth, many more demons would swarm in like flies. I was reading one of Brother Hagin's books last night, The Triumphant Church, and he explained how he saw in the spirit realm where this man was bothered by demons and thought the devil's thoughts. It's dangerous to think the devil's thoughts. And so this higher order of demon came into the man and opened the door And then all these flies, like demons, swarmed in, lower level ones. And Brother Hagin was pointing out that the Bible says he called him Beelzebub, which means Lord of the Flies. So he saw that. Gary saw that. If people would accept lies from the devil, deceptions as truth, the door would open and many more demons would swarm in like flies. They would then begin to fall to the temptations of the flesh by allowing the demons to control them, and their lives would begin to fall apart. The demons have power to make people tell lies, cheat, steal, commit adultery, and speak evil against one another. It was like the people became puppets on a string. Now, the person let them in. He didn't have to, but they did.
That's right.
Then Jesus showed me that when a child of God gets before him, praying in the name of Jesus with faith, their prayers would shoot into the heavens like barbed arrows. An army of angelic forces would appear, prepared for battle to destroy the demons' effectiveness. The more prayers of faith there were, the more the demons would retreat. But if doubt and unbelief were spoken, the demons would begin to overcome. The Lord told me that as time grows closer to His return, demon activity will become more rampant. Satan knows that the final curtain is being drawn and his time is running out. Because of what he's brought here, we have immorality, perversion, But the thing is, we're going to start with it next time. We're near the end. He's really mad. And so he's there. He's causing these school shootings. He's causing a lot of things. But you and I, the Church of the Living God, we have got authority over him. And we're going to see how to use it this week.
Good. You know, you couldn't study anything any more important.
I don't think so.
In that subject.
I think so.
Unless it's being born again.
Yes.
Now, that would be more important.
Yeah.
But my.
After you're born again, yeah. You need to know this.
That's exactly right. We're hearing some very interesting things you're not likely to hear in many places, so don't miss any of them. Billy Brim's back with us. She's telling us things that are about to happen and things that are, the Scripture says. It's pretty exciting.
It's pretty exciting, Gloria.
Really.
And we are talking about authority of the believer. And you said, yesterday's program, you said there's really not anything more important we could know in this hour.
No.
After you're born again.
That's
and filled
true.
With the Holy Ghost. Nothing more important that you could know than how to keep the devil out of your backyard.
That's right.
How to keep him from ruining your children.
Because we know from the Word that he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. We don't want any of that happening in our backyard.
No, and you can stop it.
No, not in our family.
You can stop it.
So you have to stand against it.
Because Jesus came that we may have life.
That's right.
And life more abundantly. And we're going to be talking about that. How you don't have to have a shooting at your school.
That's right.
You don't have to have a shooting at your mall. Gloria, while we were taping this program, a mall near Plano, Texas, I've forgotten what the name of it is, Frisco Mall or something, I might get that wrong, but a young man from a Plano high school, the FBI found that he had a cache of weapons, that he was going to do this in the name of ISIS, and he was going to go down there and shoot up that mall. But they found him out. And they and it was stopped. It didn't happen.
The Lord
well,
helped us.
I got a text from a gentleman who's, you know, a friend of our ministry, and he said, I walk by that mall and use my authority
Praise God. Every Friday.
And he said, I know others are walking at other times. And he said, thank you for teaching us about the authority of the Lord.
Praise God.
Ooh. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, I know Lynn Hammond. She's got the Mall of America, and she has people walking in the Mall of America in Minneapolis, Minnesota, every day. They have people that work in that mall from Living Word Church, where Pastor Mac and Lynn pastor. And every single day, they're taking their authority so that the demons can't work down through men
and people
and cause trouble through that mall. Bless the Lord. But it takes some doing. You have to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
You cannot be just a hearer of the Word and not a doer. If you're just a hearer, you're deceiving yourself. And the devil can just play. He cannot tell you the truth. He'll try to make a high carnival in your house. So, bless the Lord. It is to do. We're talking about the weapons of our warfare.
Take our authority.
And our weapon is authority.
Yes, amen.
And our authority's weapon is on the name of Jesus, is on the shed blood of the Lamb. And so, Brother Hagin's book, The Believer's Authority, I could talk about this book so much. I used to work for Brother Hagin. I know
is
how
this... Is this the same book with a
no,
different
no,
cover?
But we copied it for you over there.
Okay.
This book was our top-selling book. We carried it behind the Iron Curtain, and I can tell you
is
the truth.
It
helped to bring down, I think, Gloria, that it's right here.
Okay.
It helped to bring down the wall, the Berlin Wall. That's a long story, but the message in this book is the authority of the believer. So in his foreword about this book, I'm going to read you what Kenneth Hagin said. Back in the 1940s, I asked myself the question, do we have authority that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered, that we're not using? I had had little glimpses of spiritual authority once in a while. Like others, I had stumbled upon it and had exercised it without knowing what I was doing. It had to do with raising the dead and things. I wondered, is the Spirit of God trying to show me something? So I began to study along this line, think along this line, feed along this line, and I began to see more and more light. An article in the Pentecostal Evangel prompted my study on the words power and authority. Then I came across a wonderful pamphlet entitled The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan, a missionary to China. I also know that he was a missionary in the Philippines, and he was a well-known editor. As a result of my studies, I concluded that we as a church on the earth, we have never yet realized authority that we are not using. A few of us have barely gotten to the edge of that authority, but before Jesus comes again, listen up now, there's going to be a whole company of believers who will rise up with the authority that is theirs.
Praise God.
They will know what is theirs, and they will do the work that God intended they should do.
Yes, Lord.
That's you.
Yes.
That's me. That's Gloria.
Yep.
We want to be in that company, don't we, Gloria?
We do.
That rise up and do what God wants us to do with the authority He gave us. He didn't give
Amen.
It to us just for us to ignore.
That's
it
right.
is to be used here. And we're going to talk more
we
about
are in that
what,
company.
What His purpose is. Now, I want to read to you a prophecy that Brother Hagin gave. And, of course, Brother Hagin went home to be with the Lord. So he had to give this prophecy before he left. He gave this in the 1980s sometimes. In this move that is about to come, and there it is here. In this move that is about to come and that you are in the edge of it, it will not to be altogether new or something that you've never seen. It will be a combination of everything you've seen put together, then plus a little bit more. In this move of God that is just about to spring upon you, there will be a manifestation of casting out demons that you haven't seen yet. Some have drawn back from casting out demons. And the Spirit of God said, I began to move along that line a few years ago, and men aborted the move. They mixed some of their own thinking in on it, and they tried to control it and do it according to pattern and according to the way that they thought it should be done. I can remember when that happened, Gloria, it was back in the Charismatic Move days and just after that. And people came in, you know, and they never had heard about dealing with demons before. And God was trying to get something through. He was trying to get... And then people got off. You know, they get in a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
You either get in a ditch one side or the other. Brother Hagin said, stay down the middle of the road.
Yep, that's right.
And so this ditch that they were in, it was extreme. I know somebody told me that they would go every week to this meeting and cast devils out of each other. And you'd go every week and get devils cast out of
They didn't keep their deliverance very
no.
long. From Saturday night to Saturday
no.
night?
No, I think it was on Saturday night. They didn't even have any devils in the first place. But I know one man told me, he said, one night someone had a vision and they cast devils out of door hangers. So, clothes hangers, that devils were in the clothes hangers and cast them out.
Oh, mercy.
That's ignorance gone to seed. So,
help us, Lord.
The Lord is prophesying here through Brother Hagin in the 1980s. I tried to get some information to you, but people got off. But now it's going to come back again. There's going to come, this is the third paragraph. You haven't seen anything yet of what you're going to see in dealing with demons. For demons are let loose upon the earth. We've been talking about that. They are going about as never before because they know their time is short. And so in this multiplication, this advance of demon activity, there will be the activity of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, amen.
Demons that have harassed men, demons that have held ministries in check, will leave.
Praise God.
And you have not seen yet of what you will see in the area of dealing with demons, casting out demons, exercising authority over demons. And we're about to step into it like you would step into a door into another
room.
Praise
God.
Gloria, I think this, what we're talking about this week, is a part of that that God is giving us of further revelation on how to deal with demons. I believe it is.
Wow.
And so here we are, and this is very, very important, what we're going to talk about now. You know that Brother Hagin said in that preface of his book that he learned so much from John A. McMillan's pamphlets. And now John A. McMillan's pamphlets have been put into this book, The Authority of the Believer.
Good.
Actually, you can download this online, or if you want your copy of a very own book, we have the rights to this book. And you can get it from us, The Authority of the Believer by John A. McMillan. And John A. McMillan, who was the missionary to China and the Philippines and had so much experience. When we say this, I'm going to read the first paragraph of his preface. The rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the powers of darkness. He died, and then he gives reasons why. And he says secular education and goes on several things. This man died in 1956. I wonder what he'd think if he was now in the activity of demons.
My
he
mind.
Saw here that it was going to increase the end of the age. Revelation 12:12 tells us that. It tells us that Satan's coming forth. He's having great wrath, seeing his time is short. So he said, I'm going to read it again to you. The rapidly approaching end of the age is witnessing a tremendous increase in the activity of the of the powers of darkness. Going on to the next page, to meet the situation, the Church of God needs a new conception of prayer. The urgent call is for men and women wholly yielded to the Lord, whose eyes have been enlightened to see their, and I want you to remember this phrase, ministry in the heavenlies to which they have been called. Such believers may, in union with the great head of the body, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever challenged. I want you to notice that he called it a ministry in the heavenlies. You have a ministry in the heavenlies. You may have a ministry on earth too. You might have a fivefold ministry. You might just have a ministry of a giving, whatever. But every single born-again believer who has been lifted up to the right hand of the Father has the ministry in the heavenlies of ruling and reigning over the devil. And we're going to talk about that, your ministry in the heavenlies. And we may, in union with the great head of the body, exercise an authority to which the powers of the air must give place wherever
That's right.
challenged. They do not have a choice. Sometimes believers blink before the devil does. Don't blink, because they have to obey you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Now, the authority of the believer. I'm going to read a lot from McMillan's book today. There are a few subjects relating to the Christian life concerning which there's so little knowledge as the authority of the believer. This is not because such authority is the property of only a few elect souls. On the contrary, it is the possession of every true child of God. Its reception dates from the soul's contact with Calvary. Gloria,
I was born again when I was 8 years old, not far from Tulsa, Oklahoma, about, I don't know, 30 miles, little western town of Coweta. And we went to the First Baptist Church. I was one of those kids that was born on a church pew, and my mom and daddy had me in church every time the door opened.
Seemed to work out all right.
Yeah, it worked out all right. It was good. but I remember, I even remember this. I remember exactly what I did. I know Jesus washed it away, but, you know, I was a naughty little girl that week. It was spring revival, and I had been very naughty. And, you know, the Holy Ghost convicts the world of sin.
Yes.
So when you come to Jesus and are born again, you have had conviction from the Holy Ghost. I got convicted. I was 8 years old and I was convicted. But thank God we were having a spring revival. And we went to revival that night. And I mean, when that preacher finished, I could not wait to walk that aisle. Because, we walked the aisle. I was ready. I knew I'd sinned. And even only 8 years old, I felt the burden lift. I remember going home that night and walking up the steps and looking up at the stars and saying, oh, I'm safe. I'm safe with God. I'm
Praise
going to heaven.
God. Thank you, Lord.
Now, I was so glad to be born again, but I did not know. It says here that this authority of the believer, its reception date comes from the soul's contact with Calvary. That night, spring, Coweta, Oklahoma, 8-year-old kid, had authority over the devil.
Yeah.
But I didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it. It did me no good. I didn't know it. My mama and daddy didn't know it.
There's a world full of people like that.
I know it. I'm quite sure our pastor didn't know it. Probably the evangelist didn't know it. You have to have a knowledge that you've got authority over the devil. For the lack of knowledge, my people perish.
Well, without knowledge, you don't have faith.
No.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
That's right. And Brother Hagin, you remember that word he used to use, that long word, concomitant? He'd say, faith is concomitant with knowledge. It means you've got to have the knowledge or you can't act on the faith.
That's right.
So if you don't have the knowledge, and if the devil can keep you in the dark that you have, that you just barely, you got fire insurance and that's all, then you could have a pretty defeated life.
That's right.
But if you know, Colossians 1, that God translated you out of the dominion of darkness and into the dominion, into the kingdom of His dear Son, and then you know what we're going to talk about later on this week, you are up there with Jesus.
Praise
at the right
God.
Hand of the Father, and you got a ministry from there. You not only have a ministry here on the earth, Gloria, that little blonde-headed girl in the spirit is sitting up there with
Praise
Jesus.
God.
And devils have
it.
To obey her.
Who was it that used to say, thank God?
Think about it. Well, that, our dear little black brother that lived to be 103 or something like
know,
that.
But
106,
he said
106.
That about 20 times.
Brother Clark, was that his name?
Think about it.
Think about it. All right, now we're in the second paragraph here. Now, the knowledge of this is not widespread. It's getting wider spread. Thank God, thank God, thank God. But probably because of the extreme importance of a correct understanding of the privileges and responsibilities of the authority of the believer, the enemy has especially sought to hold back this knowledge from God's people.
Mm-hmm.
It has been successful through the employment of his blinding tactics. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that he blinds the lost so that they can't see the light of the glorious gospel. He not only blinds the lost, he blinds believers. But the principles of using the authority of the believer are set forth in a definite way in the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. And we're going to be going into that book of Ephesians in detail. First, let's take the question, what authority is? And to examine it, we're going to look at two words in the New Testament which have effectus. In the Greek, there are five words that are used for power. And there are five Greek words, but every one of those five Greek words, the New Testament translates power. There are two of them that are going to really concern our subject. And those two are dunamis, that's a Greek word. It's inherent power, power of reproducing itself. From this word, we get the English word dynamics, words dynamo, dynamite. Then the other word that is also translated power that we need to differentiate is the word exousia. And exousia means authority or delegated power, the liberty and the right to put forth power. The example that both Brother Hagin and McMillan use is a police officer, a traffic officer in a major city. Let's say that a traffic officer is standing at the crossroads and hears all this traffic coming, even big semi-trucks, and the traffic officer does not have the dunamis, the inherent power, the dunamis power, to hold back those semis. Yep. But what does the traffic officer have?
Authority.
Authority, exousia. They got a badge. And all they have to do, hold up that hand. And sometimes it's little women these days. Yep. All she has to do, hold up that hand, and that big semi-truck has got to stop.
That's right.
Because of her authority. So authority is delegated power. There is a scripture in the New Testament which has both of those words in it, and it's Luke 10:19. That Luke 10:19, and I have the scripture over here somewhere, but it says that God has given us authority. He gave the 70 authority. He gave them authority over the power of the devil. In Luke 10:19, both of those words are translated power. I shall give you power over all the power of the enemy. But he has given to those 70, and he's given to us exousia. He's given us authority over all the dunamis of the devil. You don't have enough dunamis to defeat the devil, but you got enough authority because, hallelujah, glory be to God.
Yeah.
It says in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, archas. That is preeminent ones, and against the powers, the exousias, the authorities. In 1 John 4:4, it says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them.
Yeah.
Because greater is he that
Jesus.
Is in you than he that is in
That's right.
the world. Now, greater is he. You have overcome them. Who are those them that he's saying we've overcome? If you want to read back to 1 John 4:1, he says, believe not every spirit. And so he's talking about spirits and demons. And he says in 1 John 4:4, you are of God. That's where you can check your lineage. You're born straight from God. God is your father. That's where your power and your authority comes from. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The authority of that police officer, traffic officer, is based on the power that backs them up. So if they've got let's say it's New York City. If they've got New York City power behind them, those taxis are going to stop.
That's right.
Well, who have we got behind us? Who is our source of power? The source of power behind us is God the Father, who raised Jesus from the dead.
Amen.
And the shed blood and the name of Jesus Christ. You're backed up.
Praise
Put
God.
Put the greater one in you to work. He's yeah. greater than any
yes.
problem you face.
Amen.
He's greater than any demon. He's greater than any drug lord, the demons that are behind them that are trying to get your son. You've got the greater one, and we're going to look at how you can put him to work
yes,
this week.
That's right.
And you will be an overcomer.
And it is your responsibility to put him to work.
It's yours.
That's God's exactly right. done everything.
He's done everything.
Take your authority, and you have to do that.
That's it.
And we do that
in a nutshell.
Around here in Jesus' name.
I know it.
Hallelujah. We're learning today more about the authority of the believer. This is one, looking back at our history, probably yours too, this is one, if not the most important thing. It is the most important thing after being born again, filled with the Spirit, to know that we have authority over things in this life. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to take authority over the devil. Jesus got yes. Satan's defeat. Now, we just have to walk in that defeat and take
That's right.
authority.
Well, and enforce it. I did want to point out in yesterday, I ended with I kind of muffed the scripture, and I wanted to go back and explain it to you again. There are two words that are translated in the King James Version, power, but they have very different meanings. One of them is the Greek word dunamis, and that means inherent power, the power of reproducing itself. From this, we get the English words dynamics, dynamo, dynamite. So you can see that what that word means. The other word is exousia, and it's authority or delegated power, the right and liberty to put forth power, dunamis. So we gave the example of a traffic policeman. They don't have the dunamis to stop the traffic. They don't have that power, but they've got the exousia. They have got the authority.
That's
so
good.
A scripture where that is used, both of those words are in one scripture, is Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power, authority, to tread on serpents, scorpions, and all the power, dunamis, of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Jesus said, I give you authority, and it should have been translated like that, to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the dunamis of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he has given us authority over the dunamis of the enemy, the power of the enemy. You're no match for the enemy. Jesus, God, through Jesus, was, and he defeated him, but because he backs up your authority. Now, we're going to talk today about the source of our authority. Why do we know we've got it? And it's in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians tells us exactly who we are and how. I recommend to you that you make the book of Ephesians one of your sources of meditation, main sources of meditation, because it tells you who you are in this end of days and the absolute authority God has given you and what God expects out of you. So when Brother Hagin got this information, and I think the light that he got on the book of Ephesians actually started with Macmillan. And Brother Hagin then, he saw that we could make this a prayer every day. And so I've prayed it every day, Gloria. Not every single day, I wouldn't want to say that, but miss very few days of my life, I've prayed it. So you got your Bible there in front of you?
Where is, what scripture is it?
It's going to be Ephesians 1 and verse 17. We're going to start with verse 17.
Verse 17.
And when I'm praying at home, I make it a prayer because it is a prayer. It's a God-given prayer. Someone gave me a book that I thought was good, and it was on the priestly prayer in the Old Testament. You know, the Lord bless you and keep you. And I thought it was good. All of it was good. I liked it. Got blessed by it. But there was a subtitle I couldn't agree with. And it said, the only God-given prayer in the Bible. Well, that's not true.
Well, they just got it wrong.
Because a God-given prayer is right here in Ephesians chapter 1. There's another God-given prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. There's a God-given prayer in Colossians chapter 1. And since this is a Holy Ghost anointed prayer and Paul prayed it for believers, then it's still to be prayed for believers today.
Amen.
And I can pray it for myself. I can pray it for other believers, too. But this one is how I pray it for myself. So start at verse 17. I begin by saying, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. When you start praying this prayer and you keep at it, Brother Hagin, when he first started praying this prayer, he lived next door to the church. And he told his wife, he saw this power in praying this prayer. And he said, I kept over on the altar at the church, the altar bench, my Bible open to this. And I told my wife, don't bother me. I'm going to be praying. And if I don't come in for, I know what time you serve meals. We eat regularly on a certain time every day. I'll be over here. And if I'm not here, don't send the children after me. I'm praying that prayer. He said he prayed it thousands of times.
Over and over and over.
Yeah, over and over. He'd go there and pray.
I don't remember that about thousands of times. That's
he
good.
Said, you know, during the months that he set apart and did some prayer and fasting, he said, and here he would pray, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He said that prayer started getting answered. I got more revelation on the Word of God than I'd had in years.
Praise God.
And he said, it made me think, what in the world? I told to Aretha, what in the world have I been preaching? It's a wonder the deacons had to get didn't have to come out and get me to get in out of the rain. Because he was praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Who is that spirit? The Holy Spirit. He was praying for wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Him, Jesus. All the treasures of God are in Him bodily.
Praise.
So he was praying for the wisdom, the Holy Spirit, that would give him wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Let the eyes of my heart, it actually says in the Greek, my understanding be enlightened. You know, Gloria, there is knowledge that comes from reading and meditating, but it really comes from the Holy Spirit enlightening you.
Right.
There are people. Well, I'll tell you a funny thing that happened to me.
What?
I was going to a denominational church, and we were reading the Bible through. Every 3 years we read the Bible through. New Testament, or I can't remember which it was. But anyway, I was in this Sunday school class, and our teacher said to us, well, we've come now to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, she said, is almost past our understanding. We really can't understand it. And I thought, well, huh, that's strange. Wonder why God put it in there. In the meantime, I got baptized the Holy Ghost up at Brother Hagin's. Mm-hmm. I came back home, and I started reading the book of Hebrews, and I could understand it. Why? The Holy Ghost wrote it. And He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. And He enlightened me. Mm-hmm. And we can study. I'd read the book of Hebrews. We'd all read the book of Hebrews. But we didn't get that enlightenment that the Holy Ghost gives. So this prayer prays that the Holy Ghost will enlighten you. Now, folks out there, wherever you are watching, I'm praying, Gloria's praying, that you'll get enlightenment.
Yes, Lord.
That the spirit of wisdom and revelation will come into you, enlightening your heart, enlightening your understanding, for you to know the authority of the believer. Now, actually, this prayer prays for us, prays that we'll get enlightenment on three subjects.
Okay.
So we'll look at what they are.
Verse what?
Okay. Verse 18. The eyes of your heart being enlightened that you may know, number one, what is the hope of His calling? Actually, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Number two, what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? In the body of Christ, there's a glory.
Yes, there is.
And it's God's inheritance. We inherited Him. He inherited us. I never get up before a congregation, Gloria, that I don't think, there sits God's inheritance, and in them is glory.
Oh, so, well, that's good.
Yeah, in them it's God's inheritance, that we might understand the riches of the glory of His inheritance, God's inheritance, in the saints. So that's the second thing, but that's not what we're looking at today. Today we're looking at the one He gives the most emphasis to, and it's number three, and it is, He wants us to get enlightenment on what is the exceeding greatness of His dunamis to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies, far above, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him which filleth all in all.
Praise God.
Now we're going back to
this man whose revelation so inspired Brother Hagin, John A. McMillan's book. And I'm going to be reading to you from page 5, our source of authority. And these are McMillan's words. When the Lord Jesus, the captain of our salvation, was raised from the dead, the act of resurrection was accomplished through the exceeding greatness of His power.
I like that.
To us who believe, according to the working, now that for that word power, the first one is dunamis, for this one it's energeion, of the strength, kratos, of His might, and that's another Greek word, in this working, page 6 now, in this working there was such a putting forth of the divine omnipotence. You know, the Bible said God raised Jesus from the dead. In this working there was such a putting forth of the divine omnipotence power that the Holy Spirit, through the apostle, used 4 words of special significance to bring out the thought. We're not going to go into those 4 words he says here, but behind their combination of these 4 works of words of might and power, behind their combination signifies that behind the fact of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, there lay the mightiest working recorded in the Word of God. The mightiest working. Right. Well, you might say, well, I think the mightiest working of God recorded in the Word of God was creation. No. It wasn't creation. He wasn't resisted in creation. In this, bringing forth Jesus from the dead, when all the sins of the world were on Him, He had become sin. And there He was. The wages of sin is death. And there He is. He's in their grasp. And they're resisting God. And so He uses these 4 words describing His power that it took for Him to bring Jesus forth from the dead. Having been thus raised, I'm reading again from McMillan, from among the dead, Christ Jesus was exalted by God to His own right hand in the heavenlies. Then was seen the reason of such mighty working. The resurrection had been opposed by the tremendous powers of the air. All principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which was to come, was exerted against the Father. The evil forces, even of the age to come, had been arrayed against the purposes of God. They had, however, been baffled and overthrown, and the risen Lord had been enthroned far above them, ruling with authority of the Most High. Mm-hmm. Gloria, around about Easter time, I got thinking about what it takes to get saved. You've only got to believe one thing to get saved. You don't have to believe in tongues.
No.
You don't have to believe in healing. You don't even have to believe in authority of the believer. You got to believe one thing. You got to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then with your mouth, you've got to agree with that. Romans 10, 9 and 10. So I thought, what about that? What about that? Why is that the only thing that we have to believe? And I've been meditating, you know, on the source of our authority. Why do we have authority? You don't have authority based on you in any way, shape, or form. Mm-mm. But you've got authority on God raised Jesus the dead. Now, go over to the book of Colossians. Save your place there. And go over to the book of Colossians. You have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. God, the Father, raised Jesus from the dead. And though Jesus and God are one, Jesus, he humbled Himself. Excuse
me. Bless you, my child.
Oh, boy, I got a blessing. Glory to God. I'm going to take it.
The one who raised Jesus from the dead was God the Father through the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
So we're going to read here in Colossians. You're going to see that pointed out. It's speaking of Christ, of course, the Anointed One. And we're reading from Colossians 2 and verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein you are also risen with him. So see, we're this is who we are in Christ. We're joined with him. And so Colossians is telling us this. We also see it in Ephesians. We're going to go back and put a nail in a sure place. But in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, we were buried with him in baptism. We're also risen with him. Now look at the next phrase. Through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. The source of the operation is God the Father. We're joined with Christ. We have been buried with him in baptism. We're risen with him through the operation, through the faith of the operation of God. What I want you to see here is, and what Macmillan points out is, that the operator, the one doing the raising, is God. You have to believe to get saved. You have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Buried with him in baptism, we're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. And you. God raised him and you. When he raised Jesus, he raised you. He raised him and you. Being dead in your sins and the uncircumcised of your flesh, has he quickened together with him. God the Father, when he quickened Jesus, quickened you. And God the Father forgave you all your trespasses.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. God the Father raised him. God the Father forgave you of your trespasses. Blotting out, verse 14, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. It was God the Father that took your sins and nailed them to the cross.
Right.
It was God the Father that forgave them. Now, here's the point that Macmillan wants to point out, and I read what he said about it, and I read what Brother Hagin said about it, and he agreed. It was God the Father who spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The Bible says that he put off, spoiled principalities and powers. And the common thinking on this, and one way that people say it is, and I've heard it said so much, Jesus put off from himself principalities and powers. But this tells us, when we really examine this closely, it was God the Father who spoiled those principalities and powers and made a show of them openly. God the Father put a noose around Satan's neck and marched him up and down as the defeated one.
Praise
well,
God.
Of course, it's not so wrong to say that Jesus put off from himself principalities and powers, but it was God the Father who was empowering everything that was done through the Holy Ghost, everything that was done through Jesus. He was the one. He is the God over all, and he is the source of your authority and of my authority.
Jesus offered himself.
He offered himself.
That's what he did.
He said, here I am.
Yeah.
He offered himself.
He's like we might say, here I am, take me, use me. That's what Jesus did.
That was his part.
That's right.
And you know, Gloria,
there wasn't anybody else.
There wasn't anyone else who could do it.
Mm-mm.
And when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? I really believe it was kept from him from knowing how forsaken by God he was going to be. Because he had to suffer spiritual death for you and me.
Yeah, he did.
And spiritual death is separation from God. Mm. And he knew separation from God. And he suffered for us.
He did.
He bore what we would have had to bear. But then God the Father said, it's enough.
Yeah.
And he used his omnipotence,
in the greatest display of the power of God that's ever been written in the Word of God. And he brought Jesus forth.
Amen.
He put off principalities and powers and made a show, made a parade of them. The picture here is like the Romans used to do those triumphal parades.
Yeah.
He made a parade. Mm. I hope we get to see it, Gloria. I hope there's a rerun and we get to see. I'm thinking about my friend Francine, who is a French woman, and she was in Paris during the time that the Nazis, she was a little girl, 6 years old, in the time that the Nazis, you know, were in Paris. And she said, we were so frightened of them. We didn't have food, and they were there with their power and their helmets and their marching. And she said, I remember when the Allies came, and they took those Nazis that we'd been so afraid of, those Gestapo, and they put them in their open Jeeps, and they made a parade through the town. And there they sat in shackles.
Bound up.
Like little whip puppy dogs.
Bound up.
And she said, we thought, oh, look at them. And that's what that parade's like.
That's good.
That's Satan who had so proudly pranced. And we're going to take over heaven. We're going to put our throne up there.
Yeah.
God made a show of him openly. And that's the power. That's the source of your authority.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Sister Billy Brim is back with us, and she's got more good stuff for us. She's all marked up and ready to go.
Oh, man, we ready?
Yes, we're ready. So get your Bible and get with
it.
We're going to hear some things that we need to know.
Get in Ephesians chapter 1, because we're talking about the authority of the believer and where you're going to find out that you've got authority. Number one main place is the book of Ephesians.
And life and death can depend on what you know about authority.
Gloria, that was good. You got that just from the Lord right now?
Just a few minutes ago.
Thank God she just comes up like that with them.
Because if you're in a dangerous situation, if somebody's sick, in your family, you take authority over it and command them to be healed. One time we were in, let's see, did this happen to us or was this a story I heard about?
It happened to you. I know what you're going to tell, but by the point of your hand, I know what you're telling.
There was a car in front of us and it was turned up on its side like that. It was just on one side. I've forgotten now why, but it was ahead of us. And we said, you get back down there in the name of Jesus. And that car went...
Boy,
like
that man didn't know.
He'll never know unless he watches this broadcast.
Bless the Lord. Well,
but
we want to look at
powerful
Ephesians, and we've said that this prayer in Ephesians goes with the authority of the believer. That's where you're going to find out about it. And in this prayer, we're asking God for three things, to give us wisdom and revelation on three things.
Okay.
God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Verse 17, in the knowledge of him, let the eyes of our heart be enlightened that we may know, number one, what is the hope of his calling? Number two, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And number three, what is the exceeding, verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Now, we left out that phrase. We haven't looked at that phrase. We went ahead and looked yesterday at how God raised Jesus from the dead and how all principality, power, might, and dominion was arrayed against him. But the greatest power of God, and we looked in Colossians and we looked in Ephesians, the greatest power of God ever exerted and recorded in the Word is raising Jesus from the dead.
That's right.
And so this prayer asks for us, that's resurrection power. This prayer asks for God to give us revelation of that power.
Praise God.
But he precedes it with this phrase, that we might get revelation on verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Now, he goes on to say about how he raised Christ from the dead. But what about that phrase, to usward who believe?
That's not in my Bible.
Yeah, it's in your Bible. It's in your Bible in verse 19.
Of what?
Of Ephesians 1. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us?
You're right. I found it.
To us who believe.
Okay.
All right. Now, I'm going to be reading from Macmillan's book. All the demonstration of the glory of God shown in the manifestation of his omnipotence pointed manward. Everything was for us.
That's right.
The cross of Christ, with what it revealed of obedience to God, as you said yesterday, He offered Himself.
Yes.
The atonement for sin, the crushing defeat of the enemy, shows us a representative man, Jesus, overcoming for mankind and preparing through His own incumbency a throne and a heavenly ministry for those who should overcome through Him.
Praise God.
Right here is where we're going to find out about our heavenly ministry. And it was all for us so that we could operate in this heavenly ministry. The identification of Christ's people with Himself. Where do we see that? Let's read about it. The identification. Right here it shows us identified with Him. Okay, verse 19. This is for revelation that we would understand what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Here's the working of it. Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion,
yes,
and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet, and He gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Go right on reading, because Paul didn't write in chapters and verses, and you who were dead, chapter 2, verse 1, you who were dead in your trespasses and sins, you were dead. Jesus was dead. You were dead. But God, verse 4,
praise
chapter
God.
2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved. He raised us up together, and He made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus.
Praise
this tells
God.
Us that He raised Him from the dead. He put all things under His feet, and He raised Him up the head of a brand new creation, a body, an assembly, the ecclesia, the church. He raised Him up the head over the body. Christ is the head. We're the body, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You were dead in your trespass and sins. But it says, when He quickened Him, when He made Him alive, He quickened us.
Amen.
When He quickened the head, He quickened the body. When He raised the head, He raised the body.
Praise
when
God.
He seated the head, He seated the body in Him. So, Gloria, sometimes when I'm ruling and reigning, I say it like this. I tell to Satan this. When He quickened Jesus, He quickened me. I was dead in my trespasses of sin, but when He quickened Jesus,
that's good.
When
I
He
like
made
that.
Him alive, He quickened me. When He raised Him, He raised me. When He seated Him, He seated me in Him. I am in Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. He's the head. I'm the body. He put all things under His feet. Now, all you principalities, powers, might, and dominion, you're under my feet.
Praise God.
Bless the Lord.
Yes, amen. That's good.
Glory to God. Isn't that good,
Glo? Keep them there. Keep
now,
them there.
There's an identification of Christ's people with Himself. I'm back to this book here on page 7. Bottom of page 7.
Okay.
The very act of God, which raised the Lord from among the dead, raised also His body. Head and body are naturally raised together. Christ the head, His body, the church, which is really the Greek word ekklesia, and it means the assembly. The assembly. I like that word, the assembly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Assemblies of God
the
took
gathering.
That name.
Yeah.
He quickened us with Him. This is a most important statement. There is no misunderstanding on page 8, the yellow part. There's no misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit's meaning in this presentation of the truth of the elevation of the Lord's people with their head. They are made to sit with Christ.
That's right.
in the heavenlies. Christ's seat is at the right hand of God. His people, therefore, with him occupy the same august position.
Oh, isn't that good?
Yes. There's no other, the Holy Spirit, when he revealed this in the Word, there's no other reason for him to do it than for us to know that we're sitting up there.
That's right.
This honor is not to a chosen few, but is the portion of all those who share the resurrection of the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
It came to you. It's the birthright of every true believer, of every born-again child.
Hallelujah.
Of God. That's my birthright, Gloria.
Isn't that good? Oh, that's good.
You know, in the Old Testament, Jacob saw the value of a birthright. And we need to see the value of this birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And honor it. It's my birthright. I'm seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus said, he walked the earth 40 days, you know. And after his passion, after he was raised from the dead, he said, Matthew 28:18, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Now, there was a day when he formally assumed this power. I wonder what heaven was like when he got raised from the dead. And he came and God put him at his own right hand, victorious.
Don't you know it was cataclysmic?
Don't you know, Gloria, that was pomp and circumstance involved?
Oh, and all
I mean,
the
God,
angels.
All the angels, because God had made a show of the devil.
Yeah.
A triumph parade.
A show of them openly.
And he took Jesus and he put him on that throne. And he gave him the name above every name.
That at the name of Jesus.
What?
Every knee must bow.
You got to bow, Satan. You got to bow.
And what is rest every knee?
And when?
Every knee must bow.
To the glory of God the Father.
To the glory of God the Father.
Now, that means I'm sitting up there with him. When I use that name.
That's
those
right,
knees
Billy.
Got to bow.
I looked at it that way.
I hadn't either. It just came to me right now. That's not just for one day off in the future.
Yeah.
That's for right now.
I'm going to write that down.
At the name of Jesus, when I use it, those demons that he made a show of openly, they got to bow their knees. They've got to obey me.
That's
because
right.
I'm speaking from the right hand of the Father.
And you have that authority to do
I
that
have
because
that
you
authority.
Are a born-again believer.
It was my birthright. When he sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, it says in Hebrews 8:1 that he did that. The right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of all creation. All creation, that's the power right there. And the exercising of the power of the throne was committed under the ascended Lord. He's still there in full possession of his rights, awaiting the Father's time when his enemies shall be made the footstool of his feet.
Praise God.
I like the way that in this second paragraph down here, that I just like the way that he words this. The elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers, potentially for the present, of the authority which is his.
Sharers. We share his authority.
We share his authority. They are made to sit with him.
We sit with him.
They are made to share his throne.
We share his throne.
To share a throne means, without question, to partake of the authority which that throne represents.
Yes.
Indeed, they have been thus elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose.
Praise God.
That they may even now exercise to the extent of their spiritual apprehension authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which those powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. I'm telling you, when you get a spiritual apprehension of your seat at the right hand of the Father, things are going to change.
That's the truth.
Because you're going to change them.
You begin to take authority.
When you begin to take authority.
Over things that are bothering you in your life, that are under the curse, you've been redeemed from, like sickness, disease, poverty, all that's under the curse. Things will change.
Yeah, I particularly think about demons that are bothering young people with drugs.
Mm-hmm, drugs.
There is a connection over in the book of Revelation with the word pharmakei, pharmacy we get from it, and sorcery, and demonic activities. You can take authority over the demons that are trying to... The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, that are trying to steal your child's mind. What a marvelous thing is this mind that's trying to kill your child, to destroy your child. You, as a mother, as a father, you've got authority. But I'm going to show you, particularly tomorrow, I'm going to show you how you're supposed to do it every single day. Sit up in your chair, rule and reign over Satan, and how you can break his power over your child. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Thank you.
The rebel holders of this authority. It is necessary to state here, and we've already talked about it.
I say rebel holders was another name for thieves.
Wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. They rebelled. He rebelled. I mean, he, Satan, was Lucifer.
Yeah.
But he rebelled.
He did.
And then he thieved it, like you said, from Adam, the holder, the authority. He thieved it.
Yeah.
He stole it.
That's what he did.
It is. But Jesus.
Got it back.
But Jesus came.
Hallelujah. He got back authority. That's why it was, why he had to, order for us to be born again and come out from under Satan's authority, he had to pay the price of being made a curse. Bible says he was made a curse for us.
That's it. For us, manward, toward manward.
And that's how we got free. Now, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you haven't taken advantage of the greatest thing that you've ever had offered to you.
That's right.
In this life. Glory
Absolutely,
to God.
Gloria.
Being born again.
And look what Jesus did to get it to you.
Yeah.
And God did.
He paid an awesome price. Oof. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you and we bless you for it.
And Macmillan reading on from his book on page 9 at the bottom. It is necessary to state here what is commonly understood by those who carefully study the word, that the kingdoms of this world are under the control and leadership of satanic principalities. The Gospel of John calls him three times, the Lord Jesus called him in that, the prince of this world. He claimed to Jesus, you know, in Luke, I can give you all the kingdoms of the world. They were delivered to me. They were delivered by Adam. He's called the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And he's called the prince of the powers of the air in Ephesians 2. So he's still there. Now, he's been defeated, and that has been given to the church.
Yeah.
But most people on the earth, like it said back here in the other things, he is creating, he's still creating because they don't, through their ceaseless manipulations,
he has to be bound.
And circumstances of mankind.
If he's not bound in your life, he'll continue to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yes, he will. Because he's on the loose.
Yeah.
He has not yet gone to the place he's going to go in the future. And Macmillan says he's still at large. And since the masses of mankind are also rebels, he maintains over them an unquestioned, because unsuspected, rule. Their eyes being blinded to his dominance. He works down through men. The whole rebellious system is divided into heavenly and earthly sections. Isaiah 24:21. One of them is called the host of the high ones on high. These are the unseen powers of the air and the kings of the earth upon the earth. So they're going to... We saw in the Old Testament how there was a prince of Persia. And so he's ruling down through Persia. There's a king of Tyre. He's ruling down through Tyre. In Ephesians chapter 2, we skipped this when we read the prayer there. Wherein in time past, verse 2, Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So he's called the prince of the powers of the air, and he works down through the sons of disobedience, who are not the sons of God. He works down through them. But you don't have any authority over those children of disobedience, but you have got some authority over the demons that work down through them.
Yes, that's right.
Bless the Lord. God has a divine purpose of the ages, and we're gonna look at that tomorrow more in detail. But right now, I want to just touch it. The divine purpose of the ages, page 13, Gloria.
Okay.
The God of the whole earth does not propose to tolerate forever this rebellion against His righteousness. I have sworn by myself, the words gone out of my mouth in righteousness, that shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. In the New Testament, quotes this verse, but it was originally said in Isaiah 45:23.
It says in there, somewhere there, that it will not return void.
Yeah, yeah.
Powerless or ineffective.
Yeah.
Ineffective, maybe.
In other words, they're going to bow their knees.
That's right.
It may not look right now like they're bowed their knees, but it's going to do it.
That's right.
And you can chalk it down.
You can count on it.
Sometimes I say that sometimes, Gloria, when I'm looking at some evil something, personage, and you can tell which ones are evil. You know, very vast evil. You could tell Hitler was evil, for instance. And if I see a person like that I know absolutely today, I would say, your knee's going to bow. It is written, and it's not going to return to God void. Your knee is going to bow. So God has redeemed a people, and He has, even right now, those people are you and me. Here we have, and we saw that they operate in the mid-heavens. These higher powers, the government is in the mid-heavens. But here we are above them. There's the demons here on earth, in the atmosphere of heavens around here. Then there's the mid-heavens where the governments are, where Satan has set up his throne, and where the prince of the power of Persia set up his throne and others. But we're here. We're over all of them.
Yeah.
And God has placed us there.
Seated in heavenly places.
Seated. And Gloria, he believes it, and I believe it, that in the coming ages, the church, which has glorified bodies, we're going to take over. That whole middle kingdom's coming down. Mm-hmm. And whatever they were supposed to do to rule and to rule on earth, we're going to do. In our glorified bodies, we're going to be the governors over the earth. Bless the Lord. So we're going to talk about that. He has the purpose right now, present, for us to rule and to reign. We're going to talk about ruling and reigning tomorrow, but it's also going to go into the future when we completely dispossess them.
That's right. It's going to be that way. You can count on it.
Yep.
I don't know if it'll be in our lifetime or not, but I know where I'm going when I leave.
Absolutely.
Because I've made Jesus the Lord of my life, been born again. Heaven's my home. If you've never done that, just say it right now. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it.
Hallelujah.
I believe I receive it. Glory to God. Sister Billy's with us again today, and she's got some really good help for you. You know, the more you know about the Word of God, the freer you live.
Oh, isn't
that if you believe it and act on it. So that's why we enjoy sharing it with you.
And we're acting on the authority that we have as
believers. The authority that we have. You know, nothing much changed, Billy, for us in our lives until we learned how to take authority.
Because the devil kept pushing you.
That's right.
Pushing you. He didn't want you to find out about it.
He's a liar. He's all the bad things.
Didn't want you to find out about it.
And you have to keep him bound up.
And you know, that's what God has done. We've been seeing that when He raised Jesus, when He quickened Jesus, He quickened the body. The church.
Yeah.
When He raised the head, He raised the body, the church. When He seated the head, He seated the church in Him. And now, these rebel holders of authority who usurped and are the prince of the power of the air, the ones operating in the middle heavens, now we're over them. And God, it's going to be, Gloria, that they're all shaken out and gone. And they've already been, that kingdom has already been done much damage.
Yes.
But God has a purpose. They're going to all be gone. And God has a purpose. And I love this. I have meditated on this. I have thought about these scriptures right here in Ephesians. And I just know this, that God doesn't do anything without purpose.
That's right.
It's for purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to look at Ephesians 3:9. He did this. He raised us from the dead with Jesus, seated at his right hand, for something. And we're going to read it in the King James verse. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That word fellowship is the one that's translated partner and partakers. We, the church, are in partnership with God. We partake of the prophets, and this is the mystery of the church, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things in Jesus Christ. It's hidden. In the Old Testament, you can't see anything about the church. It's hidden in God. New Testament calls it the hidden mystery revealed. Mm. Now, here's the purpose for the church. Verse 10, to the intent, that means God's purpose, he intended this, that now, right now, not when you die and go to heaven, now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be known through, is really the preposition used here, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God had a purpose from the beginning of the ages. And that purpose was because Satan rebelled against God in the first place. And then Eve and Adam did. Adam and Eve did. And the Satan was behind it.
Yeah.
So God's had a purpose. He's going to bring forth a people legally. He has to move legally. He does not like Satan.
No,
he moves legally. He gets his word in the earth. He gets the family of Israel in the earth. He gets all of the Old Testament prophets in the earth. And then we come into the New Testament and he gets the Lord Jesus Christ. That makes a show of him openly.
That's right.
And Jesus says, body, I'm leaving it with you. You. And it says right here.
He gave him authority.
Right. And God wants to use that body on the earth to manifest himself to those demons. Look, that's what it says. To the intent, Ephesians 3:9, that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be known through the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Now,
praise God.
I'm going to read you that in the Amplified, the last part of it. Starting with verse 10. The purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all of its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now, can't leave that word out, be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere, in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's called the eternal purpose. It's called in some translations, the purpose of the ages.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the first age began, he had that plan. Jesus Christ was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And he's going to bring forth a body. And that body is going to reveal God to those principalities and powers.
Amen.
Evil spirits.
That's right.
The Weymouth translation. Ephesians 3:9, to show all men in a clear light what my stewardship is, Paul writes, it is the stewardship of the truth, which from all the ages lay concealed in the mind of God, the creator of all things, concealed in order that the church might now be used to display to the powers and authorities in the heavenly realms the innumerable aspects of God's wisdom. Such was the eternal purpose which he formed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. When you take your authority, you are fulfilling God's dream from the ages.
Praise God, that's a
good
statement.
From the first age ever, he planned to reveal himself through men and women, boys and girls. And when you do it, you're doing the will of God. When the devil runs roughshod over you, it brings God no glory. But when you resist that devil and he flees from you, when you rule and reign over him, God's eternal purpose of the ages, his dream, comes true as you manifest that power.
That's good, Billy.
Hallelujah.
Like establishing it.
Yes.
Ooh, eternal purpose.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to start here from the bottom of page 13 and read his words, because he has such an ability to put these things in words, Macmillan. This purpose, God's purpose, present and future, is very definitely stated in Ephesians chapter 3, 9 through 11. Here it is revealed as the divine will that now, noon, the Greek word, the present time, unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. The church, the body, is to be God's instrument in declaring to these rebellious and now usurping powers the divine purpose, and in administering their principalities after they've been unseated and cast down. That's for the future. But right now, we are to also demonstrate now. This is further declared to be according to the eternal purpose of the ages, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is to say, God, through all the past ages, has had in view this wonderful plan of preparing in Christ Jesus a people chosen and called.
Hallelujah.
And faithful, whom he might place in these heavenly seats to rule now and in the ages to come.
Praise God.
That's God's. We're God's eternal purpose. Hallelujah.
Called and faithful.
Hallelujah.
That's good.
Now, we're going to go over to page 27, thinking of all these things that we've already, and we're going to be doing the Word. The Bible says in James 1:22, that be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. So if you've agreed with everything Gloria and I have said, everything Macmillan and Hagen has said, if you agree with every word that God has said, and you don't do it, it'll do you no good.
That's
zero,
exactly
zilch.
Right. That's right.
So I give this book to people. I've given so many of them away. And then I wrote a little book myself, Authority of the Believer and How to Use It. But particularly when I give this book, I tell to the people, you meditate in these great truths, and then you do page 27. Mm-hmm. On page 27, going to start right here, Gloria.
Okay.
Do we believe?
Do we believe? Yeah.
Do we believe that God hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, as Ephesians 2, 5, and 6 tells us? Do you believe it?
I do.
If we do, our reaction to it will be a fervent, and this is like a prayer. Lord, I accept your gracious word. I believe that you have thus wrought for me. In humble faith, I do now take my seat in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus,
yes,
at your right hand. Teach me how to fulfill this sacred ministry, how to exercise the authority which you've entrusted to me.
Praise God.
Train me day by day that I may attain to the full stature of the perfect man in Christ, so that in me your purpose of the ages may be fulfilled. Amen.
That is so powerful, isn't it?
In me, your purpose of the ages,
yes,
to reveal,
Lord,
yourself to those principalities and powers. Oh, God, teach
Praise
me how to do
God.
It.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, that's a prayer beginning right here. I'm going to go on reading what he said. If we are walking in the Spirit, our normal life is in the heavenlies. To secure the consciousness of this, there must be the daily acceptance of the fact. Remember, he accuses us morning and night. Let us morning by morning, as one of our first acts of worship, take our seat with Christ, as suggested in the previous paragraph, and return thanks to God for all that it implies. Let us often remind ourselves that we are seated far above all the powers of the air, that they are in subjection to us. As our faith learns to use the name and the authority of Jesus, we shall find the spiritual forces yielding obedience in ways that will surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
As we continue to abide closely in Him, our prayers for the advancement of the kingdom will become less and less the uttering of petitions and will increasingly manifest the exercise of a spiritual authority that recognizes no boundaries but fearlessly binds the forces of darkness in any part of the world. What he's saying it is, things you've been asking God for, begging God for, it'll probably go down because you're going to start dealing with the enemy behind them who is trying to steal from you, who is trying to kill you, who is trying to destroy you. And when you move legally and you take authority over him, he has to, they have to, the low-level devils,
right,
they have to obey you.
Praise God.
So, I tell people, I give them this book. The devil's been, well, the reason why I gave it to them usually is because the devil's been running them around by the nose. And so I say, now, when you read this first part here and you meditated on it, then you do page 27. And I've had them come back to me maybe a year later, and the devil's still running them around, having high carnival in their life. That's what Brother Hagin used to say. And I say to them, didn't I give you that book, The Authority of the Believer by Macmillan? Yes, you did. I've got it. I read it. It's at home on my bookshelf, but I read it. I said, did you do page 27? Well, I did it for a little bit, a few days. It doesn't work for a few days. It's day by day. The persistent devil, he's good at his job. He gave himself the job, but he's good at it.
Stays with
it. He stays with it. He doesn't take even vacations.
Mm-mm.
And so you did it a few days, and he can tell. In here he talks about the light of our countenance. He can tell by your countenance, Gloria, if you mean business or not. He can tell if you're gonna keep this up, or if he can do all these things to stop you from doing it. But what I do every single day, and sometimes I read page 27, and sometimes I don't. But I get in my chair because we're kings. We're royal priests. And you reign.
You get on the throne.
I do. Because look at here. We got to read you this scripture right here because you got to know you're obeying the Lord. In Romans 5, Acts and Epistle to the Romans. I'd sing my little Sunday school song to find the books. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, that would be Adam, death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. The Amplified said, shall reign as kings in life by one Jesus Christ.
That's good, isn't it?
What life? This life. Now, God wants you to sit in your chair, and He wants you to reign, and He wants the principalities and powers to see it. He wants to see what God did in you, and that you take that authority and you manifest
praise
God.
Praise you, Jesus.
So the way I do it is, I get up in the morning and I have a prayer chair. And one wall is where my prayer chair is all glass. And I sit there and I look out, there's the trees and the lake and all this. And I begin my prayer every day this way. I praise the Lord and love Him. Praise the Father and love Him. And then I pray. First of all, I make my petition prayer. And I make it, first of all, for those that are in authority. like he told us to in Timothy, pray for the kings and those in authority. So I pray for my president and all down the line. And then I pray for my family, my children, they're important to me. And then I pray for the good works God's ordained I should walk in, the call to the ministry and other things that bring up to me in prayer. Spend a little time in tongues. And then I thank God. I thank Him. I thank Him for Colossians 1, which says, giving thanks to the Father,
yes,
that He has translated me out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the Son, the kingdom of the light. Right. Darkness has no authority over me. Hallelujah. I have dominion over it. So then I say, Lord, You told me to rule and reign in life, and I'm going to obey You right now. And then I've been looking like this is how I do it. I turn over this way to the wall. I say, listen up, you kingdom of darkness, in the name. And I call Him by the names I love to say, Jesus, Yeshua, Yahweh, Yeshua. I come against you. My Father told me to. You have no authority over me. It is written that I'm translated out of the dominion and your dominion, and I'm seated at the right hand of my Father. I'm seated in my Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to reign over you today. I'm going to tell you what you're not going to do. You're not going to touch me, spirit, soul, or body. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over me. You're not going to touch, and I name my family, Shelly, Terry, Brenda, Chip. Sometimes I name every single person in that family. I won't do it today. But sometimes I just say, my progeny, Shelly, her family, Terry and his family, name them down like that. Then I go to the good works God's ordained I should walk in. Satan, you get your hand off the good works God has ordained I should walk in. You know where they are. Right here in Branson, Missouri, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, Collinsville, Oklahoma, Glorious Church Fellowship, Migdal Arbel in the Galilee. And then if I'm going on a meeting someplace, just like I went to Amarillo recently, in the name of Jesus, you don't go anywhere near Amarillo, Texas, anything that has to do with me. And I take my authority.
You take your place.
I take my place and rule and reign. Don't you touch our vehicles. Don't you touch our assets. Don't you touch our partners. Don't you touch our monies.
That's right.
I rule and reign because He liked to steal your money. Mm-hmm. And He's not stealing mine. He's not stealing the money that God has. I command you, Satan, to release the money that God has for us to do what You called us to do.
Yeah, that's good.
And in fact, I'm speaking concerning a certain thing right now. And you don't need to know about it, but He knows.
Praise
and
God.
I'm telling you, Satan, you get your hand off that money and release it right now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
And then I just tell Him what He can't touch, what He can't do. And then at the end, I praise God and maybe pray in tongues and whatever. But you have to do it. I have a little mini book where I show you. I usually start to, and I pray that prayer in Ephesians. Give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation before I deal with the devil. Now, maybe you don't have that kind of time. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get up in the morning and you've got to get those kids off to school and you've got to go to a job. Well, I always sit down and do it because kings sit. Usually on your way to the job, you're going to be riding in a car. You're going to be riding in a commuter train or a bus. And you can just get with it right there while you're in that car. You can take your authority. You're seated right there. Maybe you're in front of a mirror, brushing your hair, whatever. You can do it. This is not a religious thing. Mm-hmm. This is a thing you do, and Satan has got to listen to you. He's got to hear it, and
whatever
he's got to obey you.
Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose.
Matthew 18:18.
So there you have it.
It is written, whatever you loose on earth, bind on earth, is bound in heaven. Heaven backs you up. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed on in heaven. Heaven backs you up as we bind these forces. And the thing that just gives me great, great blessing is The purpose of everything, Gloria, everything, is to give glory to God. That's the purpose of everything in life.
Praise God.
Whatever you do in word and deed, do all mm-hmm. to the glory of God.
Amen.
And so when I rule and reign, my Father's glorified when he sees that I have manifested him to those principalities and powers. Praise the Lord. It is a wonderful, wonderfully satisfying thing to do. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. And it works.
There's the big thing. There's the big thing.
Ooh,
he backs up, doesn't he?
He does. He does. He doesn't have any choice.
He doesn't have a choice.
Truth. If you do that in faith,
he has no choice.
The devil has no choice. Jesus himself said, whatever you bind is bound. And you stand on that. Whatever you loose is loose. Well, if you can't fix it by binding it, loose it. That's the way we live. That works. Make a habit of it. You got to take time to spend with the Lord and get in agreement with what he says. Billy and I'll be right back.
We are providing the study notes from our teaching free. Go to kcm.org/notes. The notes for the broadcast will include the key points, scriptures, prayers, interactive questions. These notes follow along with us or for your personal Bible study or to teach a small group, something like that. It'll help you just immerse yourself deeper in the study of the Word. I'm telling you, this is good stuff, man.
When you are part of God's kingdom of light, darkness has no power over you. Satan has no control. Take your place in Christ and rise up in your God-given authority. Enforce Jesus' victory over the enemy with the How to Take Your Authority package, The Power of the Blood of Jesus, an in-depth teaching series by Billy Brim, walks you through biblical principles on the power of the blood of Jesus. Put them to use, be victorious, and stand strong in these last days. Next are two books by Kenneth E. Hagin. The first book, Growing Up Spiritually, helps you evaluate where you are, shows you how to move up to the next level, and reach maturity in your walk with God. The second book, The Name of Jesus, defines who you are in Christ and your authority as a believer. Jesus' name carries power in heaven and on earth. Overcome evil with the name, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God.
Reinforce Jesus' victory in your life with the How to Take Your Authority package. Learn how to use your spiritual weapons, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the Word of God. Order your package today for $36.99. Go to kcm.org/TV special. Offer good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Have you received Jesus as the Lord of your life? You can do that today. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen
ever.
To you in your lifetime, in any lifetime. You get born over again. Yeah, you say, you don't know what I did. I was really bad. I did this. Jesus has covered it all. All you have to do, your only part, is to say, I receive you, Lord Jesus, as Lord over my life. Say what I said. Take my life and do something with it. I never dreamed this would be it, but I'm so glad he did. And all that's it. If you just make Jesus the Lord of your life, you're born again. Now you got to grow up into him, knowing how to live free and knowing what all belongs to you now that didn't belong to you before. God is your source. And you have access to all of his promises through faith. Find you a good Bible preaching church and get in it and find out. And we have a free salvation package called He Did It All For You. So let us know. We'll send it to you. It's two brochures and how to read your own, how to read your Bible. Request your free salvation package today. Find out who in your city preaches the Word of God and get in that church. Glory to God. Read your Bible, pray, find a good word church. Keep growing spiritually. You don't ever quit growing. You don't ever quit meditating on the Word of God.
Every seat in Kenneth Copeland Bible College has a story, a legacy. Who will you be?
Because from now on, you're going to come to that hill and you're going to throw her back down in a low gear and you're going to say, we're going up this mountain, glory to God, and we're going to the top. And you get to the top and you'll say, I wonder why I hadn't done this before. It is so wonderful. Where's the next mountain? I'm ready to climb. And in this climate, saith the Lord, you are being surrounded by the moving of the Spirit.
We have a seat for you. Apply now at kcbiblecollege.org and revive your faith. Discover your call.
I noticed today that two scriptures kept coming up into Gloria's mouth out from her spirit. And one of them was John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." He is a thief, and the first thing it says here is he steals.
Yeah.
I know that he's been stealing from some of you. He's been trying, and he tries to from all of us.
That's right.
He does not want the body of Christ to prosper. He does not want us to have what God wants us to have to bless us. So he's trying to steal from you, trying to steal from me, trying to steal from Copeland Ministries, trying to steal from our ministry. And then here's another one that came out of her mouth today, Matthew 18:18. "I say unto you," that's Jesus talking, "whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven."
Yeah.
I was impressed as we were sitting here thinking about the offering and the offering scriptures that we need to bind the devil that's been robbing from you, been thieving from you. And in the name of Jesus, if you'll purpose in your heart today and you'll just take your offering, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's a 50 cents,
that's right.
5 cents. If you'll purpose in your heart, "I'm giving this," then I'm going to say right now,
amen.
"Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind you."
Yes.
You're not going to steal from them anymore.
That's right.
They're sending an offering and you're not stealing from them anymore. We break your power today. It is written that if you agree on earth, and we're agreeing on earth, whatever we bind you. You're not going to rob from those people. They're going to know the blessings of God.
Amen.
Jesus came that they might know the blessings. Father, we thank you for
thank
the blessings
you,
of God upon this offering.
We've been redeemed from the curse of
hallelujah, lack. Hallelujah.
We make our stand.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, hallelujah. You know, when it comes to healing, when it comes to finances, when it comes to your family, you got to put your foot on the ground and say, "You're not having that in
mm-mm.
my house. We're not having lack. We're not having rebellion in our family. We're not having this, but we are having
the
and call for what you want. We are having an abundance and the blessing." Hallelujah.
Life more abundantly.
Take your authority over your body, over your money, over everything, and get the blessing working for you.
Hallelujah.
We want you to join us again. Go to kcm.org on our Roku channel. Go to church this weekend. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Jesus is coming
That's
soon.
What I know.
This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.